brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got to get this interview up on the web, the audio of it. We will. We've also got to get a transcript of it. And coming up either later this hour or tomorrow, we'll be able to play the Freeway Ricky Ross interview that Kevin Booth did with him. Of course, we're talking about Gary Webb, shotgun in the face. The report first was multiple shotgunnings, but now they're not retracting it. They're just removing it. And again, he was the big preeminent mainstream media reporter, journalist who had exposed government complicity in the drug trade with the CIA. Ricky Ross was one of the main CIA dealers there in California, and he learned from this office, basically. We're making a drug war film last night from Kevin Booth that Gary Webb had died, and he said, oh man, he told me there were people at his house. People, you know, with special forces style would shimmy down the drain pipe and run off. And we talked to Chico Brown. Gary Webb had told him he'd been getting a lot of death threats. This is just over the years. He'd been being followed recently. And he's dead. Committed suicide, supposedly. No investigation. And you're a former law enforcement officer, Shelly Castillo, the head of the DEA for Latin America. I mean, I would investigate this as a murder investigation. Isn't it a no-brainer?
Exactly. You know, it's common sense will tell you, you need to do what you got to do and do it right. But when you've got people pressuring you from the chief of police or to anybody else to do the right, to do what they're asking you to do. And I remember a guy in Washington, D.C., came all the way from Washington to Salvador to tell me to use the word alleged because there was no proof that the CIA was involved in drug trafficking. And I mean, he came all the way down here to try to tell me how to do my job, and you know, that was uncalled for. And that's when I started to document, you know, everything that I could, and especially his you know, I got him documented a time and date when he came up and told me to use the word alleged.
Paul Watson, I mean, there's no way to deny that you put men with covert powers in around hundreds of billions of dollars, and it isn't going to become corrupt overnight, but this system was corrupt to begin with, Paul.
Well, that's exactly the case. The point you mentioned about, you know, why no investigation. I mean, here in this country, it's legally imperative that there is a public inquest on anyone's death where the cause of death isn't totally clear, you know, clear-cut with witnesses. So I don't. That should play out in America, but obviously with these high-profile cases, they don't do that. Going back to the gunshot wounds, I've got two separate AP reports. The first one, which was posted, you know, on a local news channel affiliate website, which, you know, they get them posted within minutes of their release, says gunshot wounds. The second AP article, which was reposted in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, say single gunshot wound. And then the guy that put the obituary for one of the big newspapers, I'm still trying to confirm which newspaper it was, but he said that the coroner told him that Webb had multiple gunshot wounds. So that's, you can't argue that that's just a, you know, a difference in grammar between wound and wounds. It's clear that he had multiple wounds is what the journalist who put the obituary for one of the newspapers.
Now, to be clear, a shotgun, unless it's shooting slug, shoots out multiple pellets. But we're going to try to find out what's happening here. But clearly, coroners and police know what two different shotgun wounds look like. Just amazing. But bottom line, because of his line of work and what he was into, it should be investigated. And then you look at him saying he was being threatened. Shelly, what does your gut tell you about what the cause of death was? I mean, suicide or murder for Gary Webb?
You know, I think they actually came up to him and, you know, they told him, you know, today's payback day, Gary, and this is what's going to happen, and you're going to be
Stay there. Let's hear it on the other side.
Live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Gary Webb, Pulitzer Prize winning author of the Dark Alliance series and the San Jose Mercury News. Everything totally documented, CIA drug trafficking into this country. We talked to Freeway Ricky Ross's, the big CIA dealer. We talked to his co-defendant, Chico Brown, in the last hour. We're talking to Sully Castillo. He, of course, the senior DEA agent for almost 7 years in Latin America, publicly saw the government dealing the drugs, bringing them in, fueling the drug planes. And, Sully, before we went to that break, you were start over again. I mean, clearly, you've studied this. You were a sniper yourself in Vietnam. But clearly you know how these globalist criminals work. When they went into his dark house, I asked, do you think they clearly killed him? I mean, the evidence is there. He said he was being had been death threatened, had people, you know, shimmying down the pole, down the water pipe coming down from upstairs several times when he come home recently, being followed by cars. And please continue, start over and tell us how you think it went.
Well, I think that you know my theory behind it. I think that happens all the time. But I think that Gary was working on something huge, and I think what he might have been working on, it's just my guess now, I think he was working on Carlos Slater's case. Carlos, there was a lady called Baca.
Well, you told people that he was working on something new and big.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. Carl Baca was the lady that started in his book that initiated the whole case on Dark Alliance. Well, at the end of the day, we found out that she was married to Carlos Slater. And Carlos Slater was the biggest drug trafficker ever extradited to the U.S. He was the co-founder of the Medellin cartel. And he was supposed to be coming into the U.S. to do life without the possibility of parole. And he's been out of prison for several years after he testified against Noriega. And he's worked for the CIA for since then. So he's been up and about doing his business with the CIA. And I think that maybe Gary... You know, maybe that was a story that he was working on. I don't know. I'm not sure. But
before the break, you described how they like to do it. I mean, you know, describing how this may have gone down as he that night in his home.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about, you know, the colonel and El Toro, the same thing, with a shotgun, same M.O., allegedly committed suicide. And they do that all the time. They find these freelancers. They go out there and they go out and they kill people for the agency or use people from the agency. And they're all ex-law enforcement or military guys that actually believe that they can go out there and do that and get away with it. And they do it most of the times.
But before the break, you were. You know, describing how a lot of times this goes down, that they probably talked to him beforehand. Can you describe that for us?
Oh, yeah. Well, on that issue is, you know, they probably came out to him, and they like to do that. They like to tell you why they're going to do you. And I remember seeing that in Salvador and in Guatemala. They go, you know what, today's payback day, you know, for all the shit that you've done, and you're going to go down, and it's up to you to go you go easy or you go hard. So it's up to you. And what do you got? And, you know... It's like I remember CIA guy telling the guy before he killed him in Salvador.
Sally, I understand you're doing this for documentary purposes. Just we have a lot of children listening, but please be careful with any language.
Okay.
I understand this is a murder we're talking about, and it's pretty obvious. But, yeah, that's what I've always read. I mean, I wasn't a law enforcement head of Latin America for the DEA like you were, and I don't have all this experience. I wasn't a sniper in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But just from the criminology I've read and what I've seen, the people I've talked to, that this is how they like to do it. You walk in, and they hit you with a taser. You wake up in the chair, and they say, we're about to kill you for what you've done.
Yeah, and they tell you it's up to you how you want to die. You want to die slow or you want to die fast? But you are going to die. But we need to know this, we need to know that. And, you know, can you just imagine sitting there figuring that it's the last few minutes of your life and then they do you the way they do them with a shotgun. And it's devastating, but that's the way they've worked. That's the way they've done most of the operations that I saw them do.
Well, I know it's painful for you to talk about because you were friends.
Right, and the thing about it, I kept telling them, look, what you guys are doing is completely wrong. I mean, it's... illegal and so forth, and says, you know, we've been, but it's never going to stop us. and this is the way we do business. And this
so
is
you would talk to these people when you were down there, government
agents? Oh, absolutely.
Agents.
And I would actually just walk out of the room, and because I remember one guy that said, if you tell us, we'll let you survive. And anyway, after the guy finished spilling the beans, he says, "Well, now you're going to die." So, wait a minute, you said I was gonna live. He says, "No, we decided that you're a coward, and that and the guy was pleading for his life because he had a family and so forth and this and that, and they whacked him. Simple as that."
Well, I know this. Just a little advice to those out there. I'm going to fight. People can be guaranteed of that, man. Come in my house, somebody's aiming a shotgun at me.
Yeah, you try to take a couple of them with you, and it'd be fine if you do, and fine if you don't. And the thing about it is that I think, Alex, that we're at the point that we've made our peace with whoever we have to make our peace with, and everything else is gravy. If you talk, they will come, and they will come. But it's just a matter of time and when they're going to be doing that. But
as more people stand up, as millions of people speak out, they can't get everybody.
Well, exactly. And that's what's going to happen. People are going to finally realize that it's going to be one of their kids. And then they're going to try to say, well, let's do this and let's do that. And it always happens that way. History will show that people will not get involved. It happened with Hitler. Remember Hitler? They all knew he was doing it, and they let him do it and got away with it. And then they created this monster that they couldn't destroy.
Well, let me try to bring Paul Watson in. Let me try to go over that psychology. I've found they normally don't just kill you unless it's organized crime, separate from the government, for revenge. It's normally because you've got a piece of evidence that is source material, original source research, that will burn them. Then they'll kill you. They'll have a plane bomb your house and say your gas main went off. I mean, they'll do whatever it takes. And so many people that have information creep around with it and then do end up getting killed. And it looks to me from the sources I've talked to that Gary was working on something new and big, and that's probably why they killed him. Do you think from your gut level they killed him for revenge as payback or because he was working on something new? Sally?
Yeah. No, I think it was both. He was working on something new. There's no doubt about that because Gary would be not about to give up. And secondly, that it's revenge because he's been a pain in the ass for them for so long with the CIA and their involvement in drug trafficking. And because drugs is still a big issue in America, he would be the one that really start something to restart the whole issue again. And we saw with Afghanistan now with more drugs coming in. And Colombia, let's not forget Colombia, man. Plant Colombia is devastating. It's killing a lot of the... Latinos down there, people are really getting hurt on the drug issue, and we have a paramilitary. They're training those people down in Iraq to go to Salvador. I mean, to go to Colombia and start those same operations. The same blueprints they used in Guatemala that they used in Vietnam are going to be used in Colombia. So that's what's going to happen.
And then it gives them a bigger army of sociopathic killers.
Exactly. And they have their people that go out there and kill people, and that's exactly how they work. They'll talk to you real nice, and then, they'll convince you that, you are going to die today, and how you're going to die is going to be up to you. And that's exactly, I think, that what happened to Gary. They went in there, and they sent him down, and they says, look, it's payback time, and number two, what do you got? So, it was both of it was a little bit of both, in my opinion.
And so they put the screws to him.
Yeah.
If he won't talk, and they just kill him if he will. But and then again, people can have knife wounds and shock wounds and be blackened head from toe, and you can have photos of it, and they'll say on the news, yeah, it was suicide.
And the worst scenario is this. They get caught, for example, doing what they did. They get arrested. They get sentenced, knowing the fact that when the president leaves, he's going to pardon them.
Paul Watson, I appreciate you holding during this. Anything you want to add to what Sally's been saying?
Well, yeah, talking about the criminology, and this is the same case, I believe, with the so-called suicide of David Kelly. It's almost a case that they want to be caught, which is why they do such a shoddy job in covering up the murder, because it works on two levels. On one level, they put out the story that it was suicide and, you know, bully the police and the paramedics into towing that line. So that story goes out there, placates the general public. Then underneath that, there's all this evidence that it was a shoddy job, which is, you know, what happened with the Kelly murder.
Yeah, go over that. I mean, the police show up and guys in black uniforms run off. There's no blood at the scene. The paramedics say that. The pills aren't digested in his stomach. He told people they're going to kill me and put me in the woods.
Yeah, and this again came out 2 days ago. And just with this web situation, there was a canned media response, which was, oh, the poor family, surely they just want to move on from all this. And if the family knew 5% of the evidence, which they obviously do, against the suicide theory, then they'd want a full public inquest and not the Hutton whitewash, which, you know, Blair said he knew the result of before it even started. Michael Shrimpton, the government barrister who was on your broadcast, said the same thing, that he was murdered, that certain elements of MI5 were unhappy about it.
He has that from MI5.
And as you mentioned, the simple fact is it takes at least 12 to 24 hours, if not days, to die from slitting your wrists, even if you cut through a major artery. And obviously, with the crime scene evidence, there are only spots of blood at the scene where there should have been 5 pints or more. And then, as you said, the men in black jumpsuits and army fatigues around the body, the special police units before the paramedics got there. As the paramedics said, they find bodies out there on a monthly basis, but in no other instance was there this massive police and army presence.
Yes, we'll be back. Stay with us. I was talking to Shelly during the break, and I don't want to embarrass you, Shelly, but I mean, you're almost breaking down over this. I know you were friends with Gary Webb, and I appreciate your courage in Vietnam as a sniper, highly decorated. I appreciate your courage down there in the drug war for almost 7 years as the head of the DEA in Latin America. I appreciate you having the courage to come on this broadcast, and we've talked about how you come in your house and they've broken in there and you've gone through a lot. And Gary told folks he was being followed and harassed and death threatened, and then to watch the media cover this up. But we can get the truth out. We can educate the people, and we can explain to the young people, don't use drugs. They're not cool. The government ships them in. And that seems to be a good way to get kids to not ever use drugs, to see it as a trap, not as something that's cool. How do folks get your book, Powder Burns? I know people can get it directly from you. How do they do that?
Well, just email me at powderburns@prodigy.net. Or you can actually call me, and I'll get an address from you. And the number is 956-345-5770.
And that's powderburns@prodigy.net.
Right. And the number is 956-345-5770.
Well, Shelly, I think that Gary Webb at 49, survived by children and his wife. I think that you know, he's had a good, full life, and I think God was smiling down on him when these sickos obviously killed him, and I think that he's been brought into heaven and is going to be rewarded. He certainly was a good person.
Yes, that's the very, very sad thing about it. He was a good person, and all he wanted to do was do the right thing. And even though he stepped some people's toes, and he, that's, you know, that's kind of individual that that he was, doing the righteous thing.
Well, if we had more people like him, we wouldn't be so enslaved right now.
Exactly, and once again, education is the key to this whole issue. You know, educate the public, educate the kids, and once you do that, then you might get a momentum going, and hopefully things will change. My one last thing I want to say is that I'll be in Austin at the gun show this weekend in case somebody wants to come by and pick up a video or a book.
And that's at the Crockett Center.
That's correct, sir.
All right. I may have been out of town, but I may be back by then. I may see you on Sunday.
Okay.
Drop by. Paul Watson, we got a few minutes left here, and we're going to keep Paul into the final segment, get into some other news.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for staying with us here right at the end of this segment, just a few more minutes, Sally.
Okay.
Paul Watson, you know, these evil people that enjoy doing this, I think it backfires on them. From your studies of these type of assassinations, does it work for them?
Well, it hasn't worked with David Kelly. But again, maybe that goes back to the point that they almost want to be caught. One thing which you could pursue with Gary Webb, it'd probably be difficult at the moment, but with Kelly, they got the emails from him. Kelly was killed on the Thursday night. They found his body Friday morning. Later on, the emails came out, which Kelly had sent, with him saying, quote, "This should all blow over by early next week," and he was talking about the investigations into the Iraqi WMD. "This should all blow over by early next week when I go back to Iraq." And he sent that email on the Monday, Tuesday before he was killed.
The strongest evidence is him telling other weapons inspectors, "If I don't shut up, I'll be found dead in the woods."
Yeah, exactly. But that email proves that he was in no mindset to kill himself. I mean, he also said he was looking forward to his daughter's wedding later on that month. So, I mean, if anyone close to Gary Webb can, you know, who communicated with him by email, can get those emails, then that's a major line of investigation.
Shelley?
Yep, that's right. And that's what we need to do. A lot of people will say, well, this will blow over and so forth. And that's why we have to continue to fight for his cause and our cause and not let people forget about what happened to him. And, you know, there's the signs are there, you know. I will tell you today, I will never commit suicide, but it doesn't mean I'll get hit on with a in an accident and with an 18-wheeler and you know, just blow me away or things like that. There's always accidents waiting to happen.
Or a heart attack.
A heart attack, exactly. And you know, they'll say, well, you know, he had a history of high blood pressure and so forth, and, you know, records will indicate that, but they won't tell you that medication that you can take covertly and kill you, give you a massive heart attack. But it does happen, and once you make statements like that, then they'll go to Plan B.
You know, the guys that do this, though, that go around killing good people that stand up for the little folks, they've got to have a hellish world. I mean, when I do something bad in my life, it always comes back on me. Shelley, you reap what you sow. I wouldn't want to be between God and these evil globalists.
Yeah. Well, they get in denial, deniability, and that they actually think that they're doing something for the government that they can be proud of.
Yeah. Shelley, take care, my friend.
Thank you, sir, for
we'll
having
see you. We'll be back with Paul Watson. Back to Paul Watson here in a few minutes, then we'll go to John and Rick and William and Jim and Bill. That's all the calls we'll have time for. And boy, Shelley was almost breaking down during a break. I was talking to him because he was friends with Gary Webb, but just such a sad story. You know, the least you can do is just get informed and inform others. And Shelley's got to be concerned. I mean, he's as prominent as Gary Webb is. He's got photos of these CIA guys and all their names, and he saw them dealing the drugs. I mean, it's like Terry Reed saw them unloading the cocaine up in MENA, the Bushes and Clinton in business. And so you tell somebody that, they go, that's not true. Oh, why does George Bush protect Bill Clinton? Block Dan Burton's committee. It's the same thing. It's so sick. And they laugh at us that we're so naive and dumb, and they arrest your children and put them in prison for drugs when they brought them in to begin with. It's so evil, folks. And then you look at the big private prison companies, they're the same ones that are owned by the big families that we know are the biggest drug dealers. I mean, they got quite a system set up. I don't know how police can go out and do their job. Triple the heroin, double the cocaine on the streets than there was 10 years ago. Drug war bigger than ever. Yeah, you've done a great job ruining this country. Getting a lot of cops killed, a lot of citizens killed. The junkies want the drugs because they're so expensive. 9 out of 10 robberies, drug-related. You've caused it all. It's meant to break this country down. Great job. We'll go to Paul Watson here in just a moment. But Debbie Morrow, New Millennium Concepts, high-quality water purification systems made right here in America. Got some holiday specials. You still got time to ship it to your UPS. Call her right now and give your family, your friends, your neighbors a Black Berkey system, the Berkey Light system. Excellent. Cuts all the garbage out. These other knockoff filters do nothing. They just take out some of the bad taste. Then she's got the water bottles. When you buy $5 or $20 a piece at a camping supply store, they're $35, $40. These are high-quality elements. They got potassium iodate in case there's a radiological event. They got Sheltering in Place, a DVD and video about how to make your home a shelter. Give Debbie a call. Debbie, good to have you on with us.
Hi, Alex. Thank you very much for having me. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
We really want to encourage people to buy Berkey water filters for their loved ones during this Christmas season.
I can't do it. They're not made in China.
Oh, I know. What can you say? You know, well, I'll pretend. Anything to do to get good, healthy water into the hands of the American people. You know, I really cannot emphasize enough to you, Alex, how really important it is to take your responsibility for your own physical welfare. And by drinking good, clean water, you're doing that. Our bodies are made up of 70%, over 70% of water, and it's just imperative that you get the chemicals out and put in the good minerals and
folks,
the good water.
It would take 10 hours to go over what's in the water. I mean, literally, herbicides, pesticides, dead bacteria, chemicals, MBTE, heavy metals, mercury. It goes on and on and on. I drink purified water. I have given Berkey's as gifts. It is now time for you to take action and get the Black Berkey Element. It's a new standard. I mean, a knockoff from India costs as much as these do.
That's right. And the thing is, when you're purifying your water, when you're using the Berkey purification elements, the Black purification elements, not only are you purifying your water, but it's also much more economical than buying bottled water. It is very cost-effective.
Does tens of thousands of gallons, and you'll make your money back in a couple months what you spent on bottled water. Plus, bottled water, just type in bottled water not safe into a search engine. Study finds bottled water not safe, or studies find dangers of bottled water. All this mainstream news where bottled water's killed people in the U.S., give Debbie a call right now. The phone's busy. Leave your name and number. She'll call you right back. 1-888-803-4438. And they got deals for you get two free gifts if you get the Berkey light with the lights, one free gift if you get it, a bunch of other specials. 1-888-803-4438 or berkeywater.com. The specials are up there. Just tell them it's an Alex Jones special and put in the comment section what free gift you want. 888-803-4438. Anything else, Debbie?
Well, we're working really hard to try and get everybody their filters before Christmas. So we do want to, you know, make it imperative that people give us a call and leave a good daytime and nighttime number, because I am calling people back at night so that we can be sure to get your orders in and get those presents out to everybody for the holidays.
And, again, you ship it out UPS Ground. So about a day to process the order, and then what, it takes 3 days for UPS Ground?
Usually, it depends on where in the country it is. We ship out of Colorado, so, you know, some places like New York, New Jersey are 5 days. But we'll be sure to work all that out when we talk to the customers. So we do have special holiday, special holiday specials that people who are buying multiple systems as gifts. So call me and ask me about that. And, you know, it does help support your airtime. And so let's just get busy shipping out these orders.
I heard it described as a win-win-win. That's made in America. You support an American company. You get good, clean water. And you support our global shortwave outreach. It is a great deal. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. Take care.
You bet. Give her a call, 888-803-4438. Don't procrastinate, folks. I mean, I don't have a magic cream or something for you or a magic machine that'll make you live forever, but I do have books and videos and water filters and stuff like that, real stuff. Paul Watson, I want to thank you for riding shotgun with us and holding for all these guests and people. I want to go to John and Rick and Jim and Bill and William and others, but right now, for folks that just joined us, any other important news you want to talk about, things that are happening globally?
Yeah, the global news is the geopolitical situation, and that is that China and Russia have just announced their first joint war games. And the two countries are basically following the exact same course as the US is being led down, which is preemptive imperial action abroad and, you know, police state measures at home. And in the past, we've seen that these kind of war games conducted by both China and Russia have been designed around repelling against an attack by the US. which is no surprise because the neocons don't hide the fact that no matter how large the country is, anybody's a target. In their own recent policy documents and these speeches at the Jerusalem summit, they again listed France as a military enemy. And in fact, William Crystal, from the reports that he wrote that we posted on the website, is now encouraging the US to invade South Korea, that's South Korea, not North Korea, under the justification that they're secretly working with the North Koreans in allowing them to advance their nuke program. So, in the face of this, it's no surprise that Russia and China are bonding. And the man with the soul of love, Mr. Pooty Poot, as Bush calls him, Vladimir Putin.
By the way, that's true. He calls him Pooty Poot.
Yeah, at the ranch, that's his pet name.
That's nicer than my nickname for you, Waddy Watt.
But Putin came out publicly in the past few days and said that US was a dictatorship for interfering in the Ukraine situation. So now Richard Pearl...
We have a chilling of the love fest.
Chilling of the love fest. And so Pearl and people within the White House are beginning to question whether Russia should be seen as an enemy again. But the overriding factor is that, you know, the neocons can't really have any complaints because what's happening in the US internally is almost as bad as Russia and China. Putin just abolished the elections of regional governors by popular vote. You know, how different is that from the growth of federalization, the growth of government in the U.S. since Bush got
in? Regional governors will keep the systems in line. Fear! Oh, boy.
And China just arrested another group of intellectuals for criticizing the government. So how much different is that from the artist who was also almost arrested for creating the picture, the Bush face, made out of monkeys, you know, that, and they shut the entire art exhibit down in New York.
Yeah, and I saw the picture. It was no big deal. Bush's face made up of a bunch of images of monkeys, and then they shut the art exhibit down, and we may arrest you. You talked about the great leader. Oh, my.
Well, it's just like high school students who get arrested for having T-shirts of Bush on them saying, not my president, and they actually bring the police in and arrest them. But then again, that's nothing compared to, you know, the 10-year-old girl who was arrested for bringing a pair of scissors into school.
She pulled her scissors out during the craft time when they had their little scissors and was cutting, and they had to arrest her. This is dangerous.
So again, they're both following the same policies internally and geopolitically. But it seems that they're, you know, following the same road but going in different directions. So it seems that some organized chaos later on down the road is in the pipeline to create this global horror that the globalists need to put
the final building
blocks of the new world order.
After the next big terror attack, the draft comes and the real war starts.
The real wars, which will require, for North Korea, it was 600,000 troops. So, I mean, all the people who speak out against this draft saying there's no way they need a draft. They've got plenty of reserves, plenty of troops to fight these wars. Well, that's not the case when you get, you know, onto the borders of North Korea and then China. Then they will need the full draft.
I tell you, the globalists have really set up a mess. Meanwhile, do you see this article? It's mainstream news, folks. A satanic... blood ritual and orgy manuals handed out to the middle school students.
Yeah, just completely by accident, amongst a set of other material, I forgot what it was related to now, but something mundane, just by accident amongst it are these satanic witch blood ritual manuals which just, you know, casually got handed out amongst the students. And I believe that came down directly from the police, so just an accident again.
Well, it's all very Christian. I mean, Skull and Bones is Christian, Paul. I tell you this.
And then the real Christianity. I mean, we've got the article out the London Evening Standard today. A third of people don't know Jesus' birthplace.
Bethlehem. So ooh, I'm smart.
So the real, you know, the real education on Christianity. Even if you're not a Christian, you know the basic tenets of the Bible and how to live your life, which is, you know, successful and moral. That's all being suppressed and even turned into hate crimes in Canada and now the U.S. where
well, France just passed a law where you criticize or say you don't like homosexuality, several years in prison, and over $60,000 fine.
Yeah, that's the definition of thought crime. Homosexual movement preaches tolerance, doesn't tolerate any criticism of it, and that's not being run by even the homosexual leaders of those movements. It's all coming down directly from government, who then legislate this into law to make it the pretext for shutting down any kind of free speech.
It's scary, folks. This whole thing is just unbelievable. Let's talk to, and we're going to go quickly to calls. I want to thank you for holding for eons. We'll give each caller about a minute or two. John in Ohio, go ahead.
Yeah, we may not know the identities of these slime balls, CIA-connected slime balls who carried out this crime against truth and courage and humanity, but I think they're the underground, but I think we know the overground perpetrators. It's the media. It's the New York Times. It's the Washington Post. It's the Los Angeles Times, who did an assassination attempt on him, on Gary Webb, for his when more and more people became aware of the
a credibility assassination.
Yeah. A credibility, a character assassination, and they're doing it now posthumously. And I think we got to realize that we can go after them. And I was recalling the FAIR.org organization, the Media Monitor, which has become kind of watered down in recent years. But originally, their editor went to the New York Times, which is one of the biggest conduits for CIA disinformation, and he asked them why they weren't publishing this evidence of CIA involvement in drug trafficking that's available in the public record. And their top investigative reporter told them, oh, we're never going to allow that information to get to the public. That would destroy the system. But because it was not in public in a public forum, they could admit this kind of stuff. And I think people have got to realize that the CIA, even according to Carl Bernstein, he couldn't get it written in his own Washington Post, had to get it written in an alternate magazine years ago, that all of the top media, the networks, the New York Times, Washington Post, Time, Newsweek, had not collaborated with the CIA all throughout the Cold War in planting false information to frame up countries for attack. The NPR pretends to be an alternative. Its chairman, Kevin Close, is a former head of all CIA foreign propaganda broadcasting.
No, I know. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, and Fox News, one of the contributors to the special report with Brett Humes, NPR people. It's a joke, folks. It's a joke. Let's talk comments, Paul.
Well, yeah, the character assassination hasn't stopped either. Miami Herald with the headline, Webb's research based on discredited reports. When there's
right.
congressional investigations which proved it. I mean, you just had a former head of DEA who was witness to it. So the character assassinations continued. The obituary in the LA Times was scathing as well, which is why we're going to put up this page later on today with all this evidence thrown in with these interviews today, which will counter that. And that
will
get across the internet.
The real obituary. William, I believe it's Dr. Deagle. What's going on?
Hi, Alec.
Hello.
Guest on today. Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, great. You're still on because all of a sudden it sounded like it disappeared. I want to come from a different point of view. I know Delta, Special Ops, and Navy and so on, and everything you say and your experts say just now is absolutely the truth. These drugs are coming in, and I'm going to ask them if they're listening now, and a lot of them are Christians, and they've seen these drugs come in on naval ships and C-130s when they're coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. I want them to speak up and call this radio program today or other days, and as we stand up in the tens and the hundreds and the thousands, we're going to start coming against this drug war. And then I wanted to mention two other things that haven't been mentioned so far. The war on drugs is also a war on pain patients and pain doctors. And where's all this money going? It's going into weird projects that we don't need to discuss, by the trillions of dollars in the last number of years. And it's subverting the very basis of the Constitution, which is that the Congress determines where money is spent. And there's trillions of dollars that's coming in illegally to these weird projects that we can discuss on another date.
Yeah, the drug wars, hundreds of billions a year that the globalists make off of it. Then they make money fighting it and set up the police state.
Great. Yeah, and then they're persecuting people who are dying. They can't get their pain medications, and they're putting doctors like Dr. Hurwitz now in Virginia, who's going jail, looks like multiple life sentences for trying to treat pain patients. This is the end of America. And if people don't speak up now, and that means you people on the front line that are in CIA and DEA, you've got to start speaking up now because you're on the inside like I've been, and you've got to speak up now or your America will be gone.
And the system will destroy you whether you serve it or not. Thanks for the call. I mean, we've all got to stand up. We've all got to get involved. Rick and Jim, you'll be our final callers on the other side with Paul. Rick and Reno, you're on the air with Paul Watson. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. It's an honor. Listen, Alex, I have a question for you.
Sure.
If you were to be given the choice between appearing with Bill Maher, who yucks it up with former CIA directors, you know, war criminals, or with John Stewart, who yucks it up with Henry Kissinger and other various war criminals, or with George Norrie, who is a friend of the people, whose show would you choose to appear on?
George Norrie. That show's bigger than The Daily Show, and it's bigger than the other one.
Well, here's my thing, sir. With your permission, I have email addresses for George Norrie and for the producer of Coast to Coast AM. I believe we need to have you on. I believe we need to take the initiative here because the government's going to crank up this information
machine
on Gary Webb.
Yeah, they do have me on that show on a routine basis, and that is a good idea to go on. But I don't want to lobby them.
I ask your audience, sir, and I will be part of that effort, to email George Norrie. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. And to ask him to put you on for an emergency Gary Webb program. And that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And there's the producer also is coastproducer@aol.com. That's coastproducer@aol.com.
Yeah, I don't want to tell people to lobby him because they are.
I want your audience to do so, sir.
Yeah, well, they already have me on, and they're great folks, but they'll do what they need to do, okay?
george@coasttocoastam.com.
Okay, hey, listen, I hear you. Rick, and you're too kind. I just, you know, they have me on, and when they want to have me on, they will. And people do ask to have me on. That's probably why they do, but I don't want to tell folks to lobby and do that. But it is a good idea. Paul, anything you want to say about that?
Well, besides that, after going out for the end, in about 2 hours, it'll be all over the internet anyway in this story we're going to put together. So, you know, we're going to blitz it out there.
Yeah, help us spread the word by emailing it out to people.
Yep.
Jim in Michigan. Go ahead, Jim.
You had mentioned a number of times in your films how the government was so good about covering up all the evidence. At Waco, they bulldozed everything. Ruby Ridge, the shooter there, was the same one that was at Waco. And you were talking about the attitudes of these guys and the evidence to get anybody caught at anything. Well, when the government does all that, one of the gentlemen there today mentioned about liars forgetting their lies. And Dan Rather had a segment on 60 Minutes. And you'll remember the issue came up about who was shooting first at Waco. And the Doors would tell the difference by which way the shards.
Yes.
Well, the Doors conveniently disappeared. That's what everybody was told when they cleaned everything up. Well, when Dan Rather did.
Call me back tomorrow, tonight. God bless. Introduce.